So today I will try to connect edge state and the conformal field theory. So the idea is that again we try to find a way to systematically describe so-called chiral topological order. And so we already make an attempt to do so. Remember that we try to describe a topological order using so-called the pattern with zero. But the pattern zero is very much like a superconductor. It's a D wave, S wave, P wave, and et cetera. So that's so we just examine the relative angular momentum of two electrons. So the different quantum Hall state, this relative angular momentum have different value, so we can use that. And but to be precise, one should say the minimal relative angular momentum, because the two electron may not be the eigenstates. So if you do the expansion for two body wave function, you may find many angular momentum, but what is the minimal one? But in quantum Hall state, just using the two body relative angular momentum is not enough. One has to use three body, four body, five body, and et cetera. For example, the one-third Laughlin state have this kind of a relative angular momentum, and the filling function one half, a Pfaffian state have this sequence of a relative angular momentum. And this relative angular momentum is what we call the pattern of zero. But however, it turns out that actually this is a big issue, and I don't know whether this is enough. We wish it's enough. If it's enough, it's very simple. Just a sequence of integer, you can describe all topological order, and you can build the theory of a topological order using sequence of integer. That would be really nice. But this many body entanglement can be more complicated. This may not work. So I don't believe it works. It's work in some degree, but may not be enough information. So maybe it's only capture part of information from many body entanglement. We may need more data. So this data may not be enough. And but on the other hand, we don't miss much. So it's a pretty good starting point. You know, if you say this data is not enough, then you can find additional data to add. Probably don't need to add too much. Then you may get a complete description. And this would be pretty desirable, because the many body entanglement is just words. And when you think about it, it's very, very hard to describe. When you have a concrete data, like a sequence of number, can describe it, then you can do something. You can do something, do some calculation on the paper. Otherwise, you cannot even do anything. That's a problem. So this is really an attempt to do something. So we have been, in the last few weeks, we have been describing this way of describing topological order. And in particular, in the last lecture, we emphasized that this sequence of integer can give rise to this generalized Pauli exclusion principle. And so this is all we talked about the last few weeks. And so we can have a generalized Pauli exclusion principle. For example, for the filling fraction one bosonic Pfaffian states, and the generalized Pauli exclusion principle is that every two orbits can only occupy at the most two particles, no more. You can have more than two particles. So using this information, we can construct edge spectrum. Just like using the Pauli principle, we can construct low energy spectrum of Fermi liquid, because all the negative energy states are filled. All the positive energy states are empty, that's ground states. Then you can change the occupation number such that you do not break Pauli principle, but you can modify occupation number within the allowed Pauli principle, Pauli exclusion principle, then can construct low line extension of a Fermi liquid. The edge states is a, integer quantum Hall state, you can use this method to construct edge states. But for Pfaffian states, you can do something similar, because you have a different Pauli exclusion principle. That is, you have every two orbit have two particle. And then you can change the occupation number to get excited states. But this is not allowed because now two orbits have a three particle. But this is allowed. So you can use in this generalized Pauli exclusion principle derived from pattern zero. Actually, pattern zero gave rise to this Pauli exclusion principle. And using that, you can construct H spectrum. And this H spectrum is not Fermi liquid spectrum. The Fermi liquid spectrum is a 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 7, 11. That's a partition number. So partition number gave rise to a Fermi liquid spectrum. The Fermi liquid spectrum is partition number. This is more than partition number. So this is not a partition number. So therefore, that's already something quite amazing. Immediately, the edge states as a 1+1 dimensional system is not a Fermi liquid. Yeah, you have a question? This is a very similar.
Very similar.
Very similar. Yeah. Basically, it's the same. So that's a generalized exclusion. But the Hodan's, the application a little bit different. Hodan's this describing is a generalized exclusion principle is for the beta ansatz solution. So there are certain exact soluble 1D model, and you can construct excitation using some kind of occupation. And then it turns out you need to use some generalized exclusion principle. And this is the same thing. But however, this model is not yet soluble. So the application is different. And also notice the meaning. So what you try to construct is a zero energy state of ideal Hamiltonian. You know, we have ideal pseudo potential Hamiltonian. And those ideal Hamiltonian have a zero energy ground states. And also zero energy excited states, which is edge states. So actually, we can show that all the zero energy state satisfied this can be labeled this way. So if you believe that, so this is the key. So this is the spectrum for this special Hamiltonian, which is not insoluble, but it's have a zero energy ground state. And if you believe that, so this one you can see that there is an energy, finite energy gap. So below the energy gap for this ideal Hamiltonian, all you have is zero energy states. If you modify the Hamiltonian, low-lying excitation all come from zero energy state. You may have a dispersion relation. You may get a slope here. So therefore, this zero energy state really represents all the low-lying excitation because we have finite energy gap. However, if you don't have this gap, suppose this non-zero energy state is here. When the system size getting bigger, it's getting smaller and smaller. Then the low-lying excitation is more than just a zero energy state. This would be a much more complex situation. And so here, we make a very, very fundamental assumption. We assume that we have ideal Hamiltonian, which have a zero energy states. Then we assume, this is very important, we assume above zero energy states, all the states which do not have a zero energy have a finite energy. This energy gap do not close when the system size is getting bigger. This is a big assumption. Under this assumption, the zero energy state of this ideal Hamiltonian would represent all the low energy states. Then for this ideal Hamiltonian, we can use this pattern zero and Pauli principle to count its zero energy state. So this is the logic. For finite size, but no confining potential. So we have this some kind of pseudo potential interaction, but we don't have confining potential. So when you have a confining potential, that will make a dispersion. Yes.
Can you just remind me what the x-axis is?
Okay, the x-axis is actually, yeah, I talked about this last time. So this is a total angular momentum. So we have an electron in magnetic field. We choose this symmetric gauge, which do not break rotation symmetry. So therefore, the energy eigenstates are also angular momentum eigenstates. So the state with the minimum angular momentum is small as a droplet. It's confined, have smallest size. And the state with a higher angular momentum, you move some electron further away from zero, so have a larger size. So that's why without confining potential, this is a flat. But with confining potential, the larger size have a higher energy, so this will be tilted. And this is a more practical situation, because this is a so in a realistic device, we have this spectrum. But if you reduce confining potential, those spectrum will become zero on that spectrum. Then you can use in this pattern zero counting. So this is really a trick. Because those spectrum are not a Fermi liquid spectrum. So we don't have Fermi liquid theory. Then how do you get this spectrum became very challenging. You know, we know that when you have a free electron, we know what is the low energy spectrum. If a free boson, you know that. But those are interacting systems, it's very difficult. But somehow using this trick, we really can get the complete spectrum using some kind of a generalized Pauli exclusion principle. So this is the main message. Yeah.
To negative size, or it can be
more general? Oh, this is the sequence. Yeah, there's a more general formula, but really is for the what I tried for the consecutive two orbital, which can at the most two particle. So this is a statement.
Is there such a rule that, for example, three
sizes? Yeah, yeah. Actually, the pattern zero is a sequence integer. This thing can tell you for one orbital, at most how many particles, for two orbital how many, for three how many, four how many, but they're all consecutive. And there's more, the sum of these three orbital and this three orbital and this three orbital should be less than one. Actually, the general polynomial is more complicated, but it looks like some simple one is already enough. I mean, the more complicated one is a derivation of that, and which is so actually this is a formula. I don't want to explain that, but this is really the formula, and so this from this formula you can derive, say, how many consecutive orbital can contain how many particle basically. But this is a little harder to read. But this formula, again, is obtained from this pattern zero inequality. OK. So this is really the setup, the stage. So the stage is a holographic principle. That is, this edge spectrum can be a way to characterize the bulk topological order. So you can see our desire is to find a way to characterize topological order of many body entanglement. We need a data. You know, usually mathematicians, or they call mathematicians, you don't deal with numbers, you know. And the physics deal with numbers. So physicists want to have some collection of numbers to describe something. So this is another attempt. We can use in this edge spectrum, this collection of number to describe a topological order. But this edge spectrum happened to be the 1+1 dimensional theory. And they are interacting theory, they are not free theory, not Fermi liquid, they're pretty generic 1+1 dimensional theory. But then here we get lucky, because 1+1 dimensional theory is called the conformal field theory, which have a very good understanding, even for interacting one. So therefore, so this led to the connection, maybe you can use a conformal field theory using conformal field theory to describe quantum Hall states. Because conformal field theory describes edge states, and the edge state describes a bulk topological order. So maybe you can use conformal field theory as a way to describe bulk topological order. Then at the same time, the edge state also describes conformal field theories, you also know edge states. So today so that's the background. So today I will try to explain this point of view. That's basically today's main topic, is conformal field theory. And so there's many other things. So then the first thing I want to say that there's a notion of an edge conformal field theory and a bulk conformal field theory. So what I described so far is emphasizing the edge conformal field theory. So which is the edge spectrum, which something exists only when you have an edge. But then when you try to use conformal field theory to describe a bulk quantum power wave function or bulk topological order, then one's better to find the correspondence even without edge. Even without edge, the bulk state can be described by conformal field theory. Because this correspondence is is independent edge. If you say conformal field theory can be a label, can be a data for topological order. So even without edge, this statement is still true. So what is connection? Okay. So there is a so-called bulk conformal field theory. Okay. So what is a bulk conformal field theory? And so this this really relate to something okay about this picture. Let's using Laughlin state as a as an example. For Laughlin states, I won't really go through this, so because I just want to describe briefly what's going on. For Laughlin states, you have a wave for the you have a wave on the edge because the edge states for Laughlin just a wave on the surface of quantum droplet. The droplet, the wave can propagate, so then this wave just propagates, and this wave is actually the chiral wave because this wave can only go in one direction. The reason it's chiral wave is because the electron droplet are confined by the confining potential. So the electric field kind of pointing inwards, try to contain electron in certain area. So when you have an electric field and a magnetic field both present, the electron just doing the cyclotron motion. This drifted cyclotron motion. Without the electric field, it's just doing the cyclotron motion at the same place, do not drift. But with the electric field, you have drift. And the drift velocity actually is, I think, the E over B. So this is kind of drift velocity. Yeah, this is the drift velocity. So therefore, whatever wave on the edge, whatever deformation, it's just a drift around by this, using this drift velocity. So it's a chiral wave, no wave going backwards. And so then we can develop a theory for such a chiral wave. So let me just, those are just try to develop this theory. Let me see whether I have some. Oh yeah. So for the Lagrangian, so actually this chiral wave are described by this. So actually, here introduces the field of phi. Phi is not amplitude. Rho is the amplitude of the wave. We introduce a phi, which is a derivative of phi, is amplitude of this wave. It's a displacement. So rho is displacement. So derivative phi is displacement. So using this kind of a phi, then we have this local Lagrangian, which describes chiral wave. It's a very special Lagrangian. You can see this only kinetic time is very simple. This is a partial t phi times partial x phi. We don't have a partial t square phi. You know, it's not second order. It's only first order Lagrangian. It's very special. So it's a very special Lagrangian. Actually, can give rise to this wave equation. You can really describe this wave. So this is the wave, and this Lagrangian is also called Lagrangian of so-called chiral conformal field theory, which describes the wave of the edge states. So this is a. And these conformal fields have many names, the Gaussian model, or Yuan-Kasubudi algebra, they all describe the same thing, or Boson model, whatever, free Boson model. And it's quadratic, so it's a free theory, so we can compute everything, like a correlation function, you know, and et cetera. Okay. So this is a theory, this is a conformal field theory which describes edge states. It turns out that this is also conformal field theory describing bulk states. You say, what do you mean by conformal field theory is a bulk state? Because conformal field theory is a one plus one dimensional theory. The bulk wave function is a two dimensional wave function. It's just totally different concept. So actually there is a way to do so. They are that related. So the relation is really the here. Is that we have a conformal field theory. We try to express the bulk wave function, those are bulk wave function, as a correlation function of a certain operator in a conformal field theory. So this is an attempt. Okay. So what operator? Electron operator. What is electron operator? Okay, so let's go back to the edge state a little bit. Okay. So I already mentioned that this field have a property that is a derivative of the field is the amplitude. But the amplitude happens to be 1D density because in quantum Hall state, two-dimensional density is a fixed. It's incompressible. You have fixed 2D density. So therefore, the displacement in one dimension, this H, can be expressed as a 1D density. So 1D density is a displacement H times 2D density. N is a 2D density. So this rho is really one-dimensional density. How much more electron per length on the edge, you know, that's 1D density. So we know that, we already know that this field are related to density in this way. So therefore, density operator is a derivative field is density operator, if you after you quantize it. Then you say, what is the electron operator? Electron operator happens in the operator which create a density, create a delta function in a density operator. So the electron operator happened to be the operator which have this property, whose commutation relation with the density operator is a delta function. So it's here is a minus sign means annihilate, decrease density. So that's a C. Then you'll say, what, which operator have this correlation, have this kind of commutation relation? Because this is a free theory. You can quantize it as an oscillator, collection oscillator. You can do the math. So here I won't do the math. It turns out that the answer is this one. So basically e to the I phi with some proper coefficient, which you need to do the computation more carefully. So I didn't explain things in detail, so I won't be able to present the computation. But if you formulate things in detail, you can even get this coefficient. Basically, the e to the I phi. So this is the electron operator. And this coefficient determines how much charge. If this coefficient is big, you create more charge. If this coefficient is small, you create less charge. And so this is the electron operator. Okay. So this operator is operator which creates electron. So this is the operator in the conformal field theory. Then there's an amazing observation. It's that as a conformal field theory, if you use an electron operator and compute their correlation function, you get a bulk Laughlin wave function. So bulk Laughlin wave function happen to be correlation function of electron operator. But those correspondence totally weird. Because in conformal field theory, the correlation function of operator is a function of space-time. You know, it's a one plus one dimensional, there's a space and a time. But however, if you treat the space-time on the boundary as a space in the bulk, totally crazy thing. And it cannot be done if the boundary using the Minkowski space. But we can use a Euclidean space boundary, do the weak rotation using Euclidean space. And then Euclidean space of space-time with the bulk, space will be the similar. You treat this space-time correlation function in the conformal field theory as a spatial function. And this spatial function happened to be Laughlin wave function. So this is the one very concrete realization of ADF-CFT correspondence, actually. If you think about that, that's really exactly almost the same thing. Yes.
But this way, can also tell us the additional part in the wave function, so e to the I z squared.
And we don't produce that part.
So how can we?
We don't care. Actually, there's a way to do that. I feel not to producing that is a better way to explain that. So basically, the wave function, quantum wave function in the first lambda level have two parts, the holomorphic part and the exponential part. Now here, what I try to say is that I can produce holomorphic part. Exponential part is like a metric, we don't worry. But later, maybe I will come back why it's okay not to worry about the metric. We only worry about the holomorphic part. Actually, it's a very important point. Okay. And however, this is a lie. The correlation function electron pairs do not really produce this. This is a lie. the reason is that we need to have a charge conservation. Because those operators create a lot of charge. To have a non-zero correlation, you have some operator annihilate the charge. But here, all C, there's no C dagger, so the real correlation just zero. So the non-zero correlation function is really the one with a lot of C. Then with some kind of a C dagger to the nth power at infinity. So basically, so if I write this down, basically the correlation function is that we have a lot of electron, which is e to the I, 1 over nu, phi at zi. So those are a lot of electron operator. Okay. But then we need something at infinity, that's e to the minus I, 1 over nu, phi at z infinity. But here we need to have n of such operator. So this way, we get something non-zero. But however, this z infinity is very large, it's fixed. It's just a parameter. So this zi is a variable. So we just see how this correlation function depends on zi. And then if you only care about the zi dependence, make a z infinity very large, then that's how you get this Laughlin wave function. And this is very important. So this is how does conformal field theory and the bulk wave function are connected. Okay. So, and also we get a lesson. Yeah, this is a more detailed calculation. So we have a lesson. Looks like if you can find the conformal field theory whose correlation produce a bulk wave function, the same conformal field theory happen to be the conformal field theory describe X excitation dynamically. And this is also kind of holographic principle. And so this is really that's a point. Yeah.
Can we think of the wave function as the edge in the time direction? So
yeah, almost because you can see this circular orbit looks like this. You feel those are trunk quantum droplet, okay? And there's some empty orbit, okay? And if I draw the dispersion relation, it's something like this. So those level are filled, and those level other level are empty. So those are the same picture. And but this here different. If you go into the bulk spatially, you actually go to higher energy. So in some sense, when you're going to the bulk spatially, you go to high energy. So this is space and time get some kind of connection. So this is a special thing about the quantum Hall states. Yeah. So going to the bulk is like going to higher energy.
Then if you have a half infinite system that we're doing a passing flow in a half infinite three-dimensional space. But if you think about wave function, we can also think about it as a passing flow with half infinite in half infinite space from infinite past to present.
Yeah.
So in essence, it's also kind of like
this is different. If you're using this way, the past integral which produces a bulk wave function would be 2 plus 1 dimensional past integral. Yeah, but here the path integral is a 1 plus 1 dimensional path integral. That's conformal field theory, it's a 1 plus 1 dimensional path integral. So it's not the standard path integral produce bulk state. It's not at all. It's totally arbitrary accidental mathematical formal relation. The correlation function of a certain operator happen to be the holomorphic part of a wave function, not even the full wave function. But however, this connection is enough for us to obtain so-called the zero energy states. So using this, so this is the key. Using this connection, we can show that not only this this Bok conformal field theory is not only the conformal field theory which produced the Bok wave function, it happened to be the conformal field theory produced the edge spectrum. So here, let me try to explain that. But at least this is zero energy spectrum. Okay. So how do you see that? So the point is following. So what is the edge spectrum? The edge spectrum is given by some other wave function, some other wave function. But other wave function should have a same pattern zero. You should not reduce zero. You can only increase zero, not reduce zero. If you reduce zero, you will cause some energy. So how to produce a wave function which only increase zero, not reduce zero? And the idea is that you just insert some operator around the z infinity. Because zi form a droplet. So the wave function, when you're adding this Gaussian factor, this wave function, the weight of the wave function mainly near the droplet. So the wave function very small, very far away. But you can add some kind of operator near this infinity. So therefore, we cannot just add some c here. We can add a c dagger c. So with a near z infinity, some prime double prime. But because those operators almost do not, it's always very far away from infinity. So this kind of operator would produce a different wave function. But however, the pattern zero of the zero wave function is controlled by when these two operators fuse together, the operator product expansion of these operators among themselves. And those determine how many zero you have. And the inserting operator near infinity do not modify that at all. So this is the key. You know, conformal field theory determine the operator product expansion of electron operator, determine how many zero, how much they should vanish when the two operators getting close together. And this is determined by conformal field theory. And the inserting operator near infinity do not modify that, do not change that. So therefore, when you do that, this part of wave function still have a same pattern zero or maybe more. And so therefore, they are still zero energy states. Because zero energy states, the pseudo potential just see the pattern zero. If you only increase zero, not reduce zero, they remain to be zero energy states. So therefore, when we insert operator near infinity, then we create another wave function with zero energy. So that's one point. So that's how you produce additional wave function with zero energy, by simply inserting operator at infinity and that. So this really relates to the Yepeng's question, Peng Ye's question. That is, here we don't care about the Gaussian part. We only care about the zero, whether the wave function vanish or not. Because we only care about whether the wave function have a zero energy, not zero energy. So this question do not depend on the Gaussian part. So therefore, but this also drawback because the zero energy state may not imply low energy states. We may have additional low energy states. So we have to using our assumption that the zero energy state exhausts all the low energy state. This is a physical assumption. Under this assumption, and everything would be fine. Okay, so that's it. So it's kind of amazing that we have operator at infinity. Let's use the infinity, operator at infinity. Then we just hit some operator to this with operator at infinity to get some other operator at infinity. So just a v prime. Some other operator at infinity, v prime, would give us excited states. So there's a particular operator give us ground state. Some other operator, we just hit some operator under this operator at infinity, we get an excited state. And this is very much like, so then you can say that okay. So now let's assume our system live on the the space-time is a sphere. Okay. So our space-time sphere operator at infinity is like a north pole, and the electron are near the south pole, so our droplet are near the south pole. Okay. Then we can view this as review this correlation function as evolution from the north pole to south pole. So this is like there's a ground state at the positive infinity, there's another ground state at the negative infinity, whatever, the two ground states. So therefore, the heating operator to this operator is almost like you modify the state at the positive infinity time. So those are actually the spectrum in conformal field theory. So I won't really go into too much into that. This is really the famous sort of state operator correspondence. In conformal field theory, the extension above ground state all have one-to-one correspondence with a conformal operator in the conformal field theory. So there's so I'm really talking about this correspondence. Yeah.
May I think about this operator of this Bernoulli-McDonald non-local operator?
It's not quite that. It's not quite that.
You have this transformation.
Yeah. It's not quite that. I think the current McDonald of this operator is that it's a flux insertion operator plus electron creation operator.
Right.
So this combination. But this is different. So in this current McDonald's that operator have a constant long-range correlation function. This, if you do this flux insertion plus.
Right, but that operator, transform to that operator plus the phase.
Maybe there's some relation. Yeah, there could be some relation. But here, what I'm emphasizing is that we try to identify related conformal field theory with a bulk wave function. So here I just say, well, certain correlation function in the conformal field theory happen to be equal to the holomorphic part of a bulk wave function, and that's a connection. That's it. It's a very formal, not much physics. But this formal connection turned out to be useful. Yeah. And then here I want to say that the operator, or maybe you can also view this as a infinity, as a zero at past infinity and a zero ground state at future infinity. So it looks like if you modify the state at the future infinity, you modify the electron wave function. So that's a connection. That's yet another connection. So that is if you choose the state at future infinity to be certain, like a ground state, then this correlation function happens to give you ground state wave function of the quantum power states. If you choose the state at a future infinity to be some excited state in conformal field theory, then this wave function will be different. And this wave function will be the wave function for edge excitation. So then you see there's a mapping. The zero energy wave function may have a one-to-one correspondence with the conformal field theory state at the future infinity. So this is a connection. And but certainly the answer is yes and no whether this correspondence really there. It's the following. There is a possible that two different state in conformal field theory at the future infinity produce linearly dependent correlation function. So this is possible. So the correspondence is not one-to-one. But however, if a number of electrons, n is large, is I run from 1 to n. If n is large, and here at the future infinity, you only consider low-lying states, then this electron operator have a full resolution, can distinguish all the low-lying states. So there is a one-to-one. So there is an issue that if suppose you don't have two electron operator here, then there are not much variation for this two-body correlation function. So it's possible that a linearly independent conformal field theory state at the future infinity may correspond to linearly dependent many-body wave function. But however, when you have when n is very large, or when n go to infinity, then the electron operator have a higher power resolution. So they can distinguish all these different states. So therefore, the linearly independent conformal field theory state at the future infinity will give rise to linearly independent correlation function. So this is the final argument to say why the spectrum in the conformal field theory should match the zero energy spectrum of a quantum Hall states. So that's basically the setup of the connection. And actually that's a key. So using this, we have this direct connection. We have this several notion, you know, there's a Ball conformal field theory which produce wave function. There's edge conformal field theory whose spectrum produces edge spectrum. And now we see that there's a Ball conformal field theory and edge conformal theory may be the same thing. And so this argument say they are really the same thing. So therefore this led to this desire that maybe you can use conformal field theory to classify or to systematically describe the 2+1 dimensional topology order, or at least a purely chiral one. Okay, so that's basically the main point. Any question? Okay, so now let's go into some little bit of detail. And so then what the detail is that the CFT is a bad name. I don't want to even call them CFT. The reason is that the CFT emphasizes so-called conformal environments, conformal symmetry, on all this symmetry. But here I do not want to emphasize that. That is not very important for us for this purpose. Okay. But the one thing I want to emphasize is a simple current. So I mentioned the simple current algebra last time. So now I can explain what is simple current. This is electron operator is a simple current operator. That's it. So what is that? What do you mean by electron operator? It still have a requirement. This electron operator is a particular operator in conformal field theory who have a single value of the correlation function. Unfortunately, we don't have a systematic introduction conformal field theory. Actually, there are operators in the conformal field theory which do not have a single valued correlation function, which do not even have a correlation function. They have so-called conformal blocks. So this is kind of very confusing. But anyway, but there's other operator better behave. Their correlation function are single valued and can be computed with no ambiguity. And those operator is the operator is a simple current. So you can see I cannot describe simple current very precisely because I don't really understand what is simple current, but that's reflecting my understanding. Maybe there's a better, more rigorous definition of what is simple current. And then you ask, you know, what do you mean by the operator whose correlation function is conformal block? What's that? So what is following? Usually in the conformal field theory, many times we do not have a formula for the correlation function. A general operator, we do not have a formula for the correlation function. But however, we have a differential equation for correlation function. We say for those operator whose correlation function satisfy this differential equation, that's usually we have. But however, when you're solving a differential equation, their solution may be multivalued. For example, the correlation function may be maybe 1 over so z minus w square root. So you may have a correlation function goes like that. So locally it's okay, but when you go around the loop, it's multivalued. Okay, and this is not the worst one. This is also, so we call this one have good behavior. The bad behavior is that, you know, it's multivalued, the correlation function means that the correlation function is not determined up to some phase. There's some phase ambiguity, you know, some branch kind of phase ambiguity. But there are something even worse. And that is, you know, when you're moving, say, W around Z, go around the loop, when you have a branch cut, you get a face. But sometimes the solution of differential equation is even worse. When you go through the loop, you get another wave function, which is linearly independent to the previous wave function, some linearly independent. So this is the notion of a conformal block. So actually, the wave function is not a single vector. The wave function became a span, a subspace with a several dimension. When you're exchanging this, when you're exchanging braiding particle, then you may get some of the correlation function may be some vector in this multi-dimensional space. And this gives the notion of a conformal block. And this is the most general correlation function of an operator in the conformal field theory. So therefore, but those operators with conformal block, the wave function is not even a single function. It's a vector in some subspace. So we cannot be viewed as a block wave function. So those operators is not, we cannot use that operator. So therefore, to use conformal field theory to construct a wave function, the conformal field theory should be very special. Should be the conformal field theory which have simple current, means that which contain operator whose correlation function are single value of the wave function, a single value of the function. And those conformal field theory we call the simple current conformal field theory. So this is a more precise way to say conformal field theory related to quantum Hall states. It's not general, it's only simple current conformal field theory related to quantum Hall states. Yeah. And there are opposite also not. Yeah.
I think
minimum model probably may not have some kind of, so most conformal field theory may have this kind of a single block. Conformal block is one dimension. But once you have that, you can combine this with the Gaussian model to construct simple current. But this is a thing which I myself not familiar. But for those who are familiar with conformal field theory, this will be the direction to one direction work. Then if you can classify simple current, have a general formula of simple current, you actually develop a systematic theory for the for topology order. So this is what I try to say. So therefore, I'm emphasizing simple current very much. So the conformal field theory, which contain operator, which have a single valid correlation function, is called a simple current conformal field theory, and this operator is called a simple current. And then you can use this operator to construct wave function and develop a topology order theory. And that's it. So that's basically, I think this is maybe the best description of a chiral topology order using simple current conformal field theory. And once you know this operator, once you know OP of this operator, and once you know the correlation function of this operator, you can develop everything, including quasi-particle. So, let me see. Okay, so let's try to using this idea for Laughlin states. And so remember for Laughlin states, let's choose this Lagrangian conformal field theory, this Gaussian model to be the chiral Gaussian model, just this Lagrangian, we fix coefficient here, okay? It turns out that for this particular model, you can compute this correlation function, this alpha phi. Then it's 1 over z, 1 over z, 2 alpha squared. So this alpha squared appear here. So that's their correlation function. And they can compute their OPE. So the OPE between this alpha 1, alpha 2 is this one. Okay. So remember this a total exponent here. It's a pretty messy formula. But the thing is that in order for this operator to be simple current, to have a single valid correlation function, we have to choose this alpha 1 alpha 2, right, which are equal carefully so that this combination is integer. If this combination is integer, then their correlation function will be the, would have no branch cut, will be single value. And if you, so if you choose alpha 1 equal to alpha 2 to be m over 2, then you'll find that this integer is minus m, so there's m's power 0. So actually, if you choose this alpha to be m over 2, m is integer, then this will be the single current. This will be electron operator. And it produces the Laughlin state with this Friedmann function 1 over m. Okay. So then, once you know the electron operator, you also know the quasi-particle. And so, I think I may have a quasi-particle. So what is a quasi-particle? There's a somewhere. Let me see. Yeah. Remember, this correlation function gave us the ground state wave function. You may say, what is the wave function for the quasi-particle? Well, it's very simple. You insert some other operators. But in this time, your insertion is not close to Z infinity. But the insertion is right inside this droplet. So this can see will be inside this droplet. It's just some other operator. Then that's it. In this way, you modify the wave function not only in the boundary, but you really modify the wave function in the bulk. So then you get the quasi-particle wave excitation. But then there's one thing. You cannot put any operator here. If you put some operator, this electron go around this operator, have a branch cut, then this operator would destroy the single valueness. So this is very important. So you only need to, so to have a valid quasi-particle, you need to select operator, a special operator, which have no branch cut relative to electron operator, which called mutually local, means the electron operator go around it, just have a phase 2 pi or no phase, whatever, but no branch cut. Remember, electron operator, when electron operator go around electron operator, their OPE should be, exponent should be integer. So the electron operator are mutually local respect to themselves among each other. So the electron are mutually local. Their OPE have an integer coefficient, an integer exponent. So this is what we just described. You can see we require that this if this alpha 1, alpha 2 describe two electron operators, we require their OPE have integer coefficient. But however, if alpha 2 is electron operator, alpha 1 is quasi-particle, we cannot have arbitrary alpha 1. Because if alpha 2 is m over 2, alpha 1 has to be special value such that this combination is integer. No. Electron operator is simple current. It's your choice. But and this again is a very important thing. I will come back to this. So this is very important because this led to the quantization of quasi-particle. Not arbitrary operator can be quasi-particle. The only certain special quantized operator can be quasi-particle. That's why quasi-particle carry a quantized charge, although it's a fractional quantized charge, but still quantized, not arbitrary charge. So actually, if you work things out, it turns out that the quasi-particle, so electron operator, this electron operator is the square root of m per psi z. So this is the electron operator. I'm sorry, I think I misspoken. Alpha should be square root of m. This gives us electron operator. The quasi-particle operator is the alpha is a 1 over square root of m. Yeah, there's no energy. Yeah, we only say those are finite energy excitation, not how big, how small. Yeah. So this is a topological order. So we don't have too much dynamic. We just say final energy. Well, the final energy excitation can be this. Otherwise, it should be we have branch cut. You have linear energy cost. So here we say no linear energy cost, basically. And however, the one important thing, quasi particle mutually local respect to electron, but they are not mutually local respect to themselves. When the quasi particles go around each other, their correlation can have a branch cut. And this is okay because the position for quasi particle in this formula is not a variable. It's just a parameter of a wave function. This Zi is a variable for coordinate. So we only require single valueness as a function for Zi. And this Kc1, Kc2 is a parameter. You know, we don't need no single valueness. But however, the fact that these two are not mutually local among themselves means their correlation function, they can be anion. They have fractional statistics. The fact that those are not simple current, their correlation function can have a conformal block means when you braid around, the vector may change in the vector space. That means non-abelian statistics. So that's how non-abelian statistics appear in conformal field theory. The operator which you create the quasi particle not only have a branch cut in the correlation function, they also have sort of a conformal block. Their correlation function is not even a function. The correlation function is a vector in the vector space. We don't know which vector. When you braid them, this vector can change around. So everything just come together. So therefore this so even non-abelian statistics can be here. So then this really come to this okay, yeah. So using this, we can also say that then the conformal field theory which produce a Pfaffian wave function is this. Happen to be the Gaussian one plus a Marana fermion. And in this case, the simple current operator is this one. It's M phi. Here we put M here, so the normalization are different. So it's M phi and a lambda. It's a Marana fermion times the Gaussian vertex operator. So this operator is a simple current operator we choose. And then the correlation function of this electron operator produce the Pfaffian wave function in the bulk. So therefore, the same conformal field theory also produce edge states. So edge state is a what this? No, x. These are Dirac. These are just special way to write a Dirac operator. This is Marana fermion, so the lambda bar equals lambda. Yeah. Okay. And then what is a quasi particle? Quasi particle operator is a very special operator called a sigma. We cannot write this quasi particle operator in terms of this power of those. Because the sigma operator is so called the branch cut operator for Marana fermion. The sigma is a very special operator. Basically, the lambda, when lambda go around the sigma, you have a produced branch cut. You see, this is not allowed. Because electron go around the quasi particle should have no branch cut, should be single value. But now this lambda produce branch cut for the, sorry, the sigma produce branch cut for lambda. That's bad. Well, we can fix that. We choose the quantization of this one to be smaller so that this operator also produce branch cut of the relative of this operator and two branch cut cancel each other. So that's why we allow this operator to have an even smaller coefficient because without a sigma, then we require these two operators to be mutually local. So this coefficient cannot be too small, otherwise they have branch cut. But now you have a sigma, which have branch cut minus one branch cut for lambda. So now we allow this operator, we can make a coefficient smaller. So this one also produce branch cut related to this one, and together there is no branch cut. So that's why we can have a smaller, more fractionalized the operator. Okay. So this is this basically is the essence of a simple kernel. So the idea is that once you determine the conformal field theory and the electron operator, the quasi-particle operator are all determined by requiring the quasi-particle should be mutually local respect to electron. All those operators are allowed. They are, when you get all those quasi-particle operator, you get a topological type. All different topological type, all different quasi-particle, all different statistics, simply by obtained by all such operator which are mutually local respect to electron. Okay. And there is another way to describe this. This kind of representation theory. Actually, the simple current operator is using C to denote simple current. So we can start with a ground state. We can apply this simple current operator C dagger, a different place, etc. You hit this simple current operator on the ground state. You create this excitation. We also call this a tower of state. It's like a high weight state. It's like those are so those states with a minimal angular momentum. Those states are raising angular momentum. You create a representation. Usually the same thing. So this is a state, a ground state is like a kind of highest weight state. The maximum, minimum angular momentum. Those are simple current operator, like a racing operator, using that you just. But however, there's no maximum. So this tower is infinity. It's just only there's minimal, no maximum. It's just a tower. Okay. And this tower have a name. You can call that a adjoint representation. It's like a Lie algebra. You can use an operator L to generate this adjoint representation. So this C is like a operator in the algebra, which generate this tower. So now I'm using representation theory language to describe the feature. Okay. Then what is a quasi-particle operator? The quasi-particle operator is other irreducible representation. That's it. So basically, you start with something, some we call it zero Q, some other thing. Then you can hit C dagger. You can create another tower. So this tower is a representation, but not a adjoint representation because you don't start with zero. I don't know. That's my understanding. There may be a better way to describe it. It's a something you start like another sector, but this sector allow C to act. You can add C to it. Because electron operator is always possible. It's a local operator. You can always add C to anything. So adjoint representation is a ground state act by simple current. Other representation is some other highest weight state act by simple current. So this became representation theory. So there is a way to use a representation theory to describe this. So this is called simple current algebra. So this C actually is generator of simple current algebra, generator of adjoint representation. Then you want to find all the irreducible representation of simple current algebra, and that is a quasi-particle operator. So this is a more rigorous way to compute quasi-particle. Then you OPE is another formalization for this. So therefore, this simple current algebra and the computing representation of simple current algebra became this became a theory of this topological order. So if you know how to do this, you can come with the quasi-particle, there are statistics, there are fractional charge, and et cetera. You can get all everything. Yeah. Okay.
So we will raise the stakes by applying the power never truncated.
Never can truncate. But how in real system they do truncate is a falling. Remember in real system we have this droplet. When you apply, you just go deep into droplet. And certainly, the conformal theory is valid at in the final width of a droplet. The width is LB, roughly. But how many states, how many K level in LLB? The number of level in LLB is a length of a parameter divided by LLB. So if droplet is very large, then so you can have so many levels. So therefore, in the real quantum Hall states, this tower is truncated, but the total height of a tower is a length of a parameter divided by LLB, something of that sign. If you go beyond that, then things may collapse. But certainly for the ideal states, actually it's more. Ideal state, you can go all the way inside. So actually, for the ideal wave function, you can have a square. But when you get so much level, you hit the middle, then you cannot go inside anymore. You already hit the middle. So there's a natural truncation. And this is also when this correlation function cannot resolve different states. Remember the conformal theory, the spectrum is infinity. It's the higher level, the more states. But when you consider n-body correlation function, this n-variable function can have a finite dimension. And so this is a very good question. So that's to tell you when the conformal field theory break down. But however, when the droplet is very large, then conformal theory applies to more and more levels. So in this way, conformal theory, field theory is a low energy effective theory. Other questions? Okay, if not, so I will stop here. I think next Tuesday, I probably would devote 1 hour, try to review something about the slave particle approach, which is another approach for to constructing topological order. I think maybe 10 years ago, that's the only approach. So the history is quite different. We use a slave particle approach to study a lot of topological states. And maybe 15 years ago, that's the only thing we know. And but now we learn many other approach, but that approach is not mentioned as much, but still very important, I think. Okay.